Good morning, church. Let us pray. I arise today, embraced in the arms of God the Father, empowered by the strength of God the Spirit, immersed in the love of God the Son. I arise today in the company of the Trinity, Father, Spirit, and Son. I arise today.
Ephesians 5:8-14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why I said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Morning has broken. We are given this new day to glorify God, to do the works of love and bear fruit for Jesus, the true vine. No more do we run from shadow to shadow. No more do we hide away from each other. The sun has risen. He shines on us and drives away the darkened night. Hallelujah. This morning, we as a church rise to greet God at the beginning of our day, at the beginning of our week. May our souls rise to meet Him as the day rises to meet the sun. In many ways, this is what we do every time we gather together. When we sing, when someone reads scripture, when someone brings a word of instruction or encouragement, even as we lift up an offering to God or sit up front when all the kids come running up for the children's moment, then we are greeting God. But in this special season, this rooted and growing season that our church is in, we've set aside a Sunday each month for prayer. When we pray, we focus our minds on the fact that we live the whole of our lives in God's presence, grafted into union with Jesus as branches on the true vine. When we pray, our hearts find their proper place, their true home in God's presence. So this morning we rise in the light of Christ through our prayers. I like what a writer, Bill Gaultier, writes about this. He says, to abide in prayer is a way to work at resting in God's grace. We start by praying scripture in intensive quiet times, but this helps us to learn to interact with and rely on Christ with us, whatever we're doing. So this is our reason for making this special time for focused prayer in the life of our congregation. You can find a skeleton outline of today's worship service in your bulletin. You can see we're still going to sing some songs, and we'll hear a lot of scripture, especially from John chapter 15. It's been sort of a focus passage for us, that vine and the branches passage during this season. But the biggest part of our time will be spent praying together, individually and, well, together. The bulletin also shows how our service is built in three parts. First, our prayer leads us, as Corey told us, to wake up to the fact that we live moment by moment, bound to and enlivened by Christ's love. Next, we focus on how God has seen who we truly are, has known us and chosen us to go and bear fruit. And then finally, we move to a time where we'll name how remaining in Jesus' love produces the fruit of love in our own lives. This Sunday is a special Sunday. It's a Sunday that's given to praying and seeking God's face. as we reflect on Scripture. I ask you to join your hearts with me as I pray a prayer of commitment, of purpose, of what we intend to do this morning. O Father, in my waking and arising, be the first thought that enters my heart. In my eating and drinking, be the first thought that enters my heart. In my walking and journeying, in my working and serving, in my sowing and harvesting, be the first thought that enters my heart. In my rejoicing and sorrowing, be the first thought that enters my heart. In my resting and sleeping, be the first thought that enters my heart. Amen. And I ask you to join with me now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us as a way of focusing our hearts on Him. Now pray with me. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our bread for today, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those in debt to us. And don't lead us into trials, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
John 15:9-17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that remains. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. Those are good words from Jesus, strong words. We remain in his love moment by moment. The Son of God, God's Son, has risen on us, and we live day by day in his light. We've come to our first time of prayer in this service, and that is what we're going to focus on: how we live in God's love, how we live in the presence of Christ, moment to moment. I've put a series of quotations on the projector, and I'm going to read each one and pause, and I invite you there to quietly, right where you're seated, respond to God's word, to the words on the screen, in prayer. How does this remind you that you have become part of Christ, that every moment of every day, his life flows in you, in your life? You open yourself to God's presence, God who is behind you and before you, beneath you and above you, all around you. Talk to God about what these words put on your heart. Pray, remembering again that the light of Christ shines on you this day and every day. From Psalm 16, you show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Psalm 24, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Right where you're seated, respond to God in prayer. From Rodney Whittaker, to obey Jesus is to conform one's life to the very pattern of God's own life. Such obedience shares in his life, which is characterized by harmony, grace, goodness, and beauty. We are in intimate union with him and swept up into his dance for which we were created and which brings the deepest fulfillment and deepest joy to our lives. Tell God what stands out to you in this quote, what convicts you, what questions you have. Ask that God would make your life into the same shape as his own, that it would be full of harmony, grace, goodness, and beauty. Prayer from an early Anabaptist martyr. O Lord, my heart constantly longs to be fit in your sight, that I might finish to your praise that which you have begun in me. Jesus is the vine which supports us. It is his life that flows in us, moment by moment, day by day. Talk to God about how he wants to finish the work that he intends for you, to bear fruit, the fruit of love in your life. And finally, from Hugo Rahner and Carl Rahner, a prayer. We implore you, live in us and let your spirit fill us. We believe in your strength, which conquers through our weakness, in your mercy, which has already triumphed over our wretchedness, in your truth, which has overcome our lies, in your freedom, which has enlarged our narrowness. Live in us. Let us obey your commandments joyfully in your spirit. Now I invite you to turn to someone who is seated near you. You've been praying how you are connected to God, and I want you to pray a simple prayer for them. Turn to them and pray that they will remember that they dwell in God hour by hour this week. If you want, you can use the words, may you rise in Christ this day and every day. May you rise in Christ this day and every day. Find someone near you, or if you're not seated close to someone, get up and go to someone and pray for them and allow them to pray for you. Just a simple sentence. We have now a Bible story to help us focus our prayer. From 1 Samuel 16. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things human beings look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah.
"You, Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
I think that's kind of a fun story. It's one that we sometimes tell our Sunday school kids. But it has a powerful message. It's that God, our Savior, is the only one who sees through to the truth of who you are and what you can do. I mean, you don't even know yourself, really. Our hearts are full of twists and turns and forgotten corners, so much so that none of us can ever trace them all out. But God can. God is the one who made you and formed you. God knows you better than you know yourself, certainly better than anyone else knows you. And it's God, our Savior, who came and said, "I have chosen you and appointed you to bear fruit." Now, maybe you can't, when you look inside yourself, find a reason why God would choose you. Some of us are there. And maybe there's others of us when we look at ourselves and, "Yeah, I know why God chose me for his team." In other words, some of us are pretty confused. God is the one who chose you. God knows his plans, God alone. But this one thing you can know: God looked into your heart and loved you. God said to you, "I choose you." God poured out God's love and God's Spirit, anointing you, appointing you to go and bear the fruit of love. God saw you and God chose you. So how can we respond to news like that? Well, in a moment we're going to pray a prayer of praise. And then after a song and another reading from John chapter 15, we'll spend time praying for these people that God's chosen, for each other. First, though, let's join our hearts in praise. Pray with me. Mighty God, to you belong the mysteries of the universe. You transform shepherds into kings, the smallest seeds into magnificent trees, and hardened hearts into loving ones. Fill us with your Spirit of life. Recreate us into your image and shape us to your purposes. Anoint us so we may go to serve the world. When we cannot see the way, guide us by the hand to your kingdom. Fill us with hope so we can sing your joy all of our days. Amen.
I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that remains, and so that whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you.
God has chosen you so that you can bear fruit. God fills you with God's Spirit so that you can bear fruit. As we come to another time for prayer, I invite you again to turn to someone near you. Maybe it's the same person, maybe it's someone different. Maybe you have to get up and move. And tell them that they have been chosen by God, chosen for a purpose. Go do that right now. Go tell someone you are chosen by God, chosen for a purpose. Stay close to them. And as you're close to them, ask them if they're aware of any part of their lives, an area where God is working or growing. And then pray for them to bear fruit as God has anointed their lives. For instance, I'd go to Bonnie and I would say, is there an area this morning where you see God working in your life? And then I'd listen and, you know, if you don't have something to say on the other end, don't worry, because we're all still learning how to see God at work in our lives and in our world around us. It's an area we all have to grow in. But whatever they have to answer, I would pray that God would continue God's work, growing the fruit of love in their lives. Let's take just a couple moments and do that. Ask the person how God is working in their lives, and then pray for them. And then we can turn around and do the same thing for each other. Sometimes it's a little bit challenging to pray for one another, or even to talk very openly and honestly with one another, especially for, especially as we get to know one another better and better. Sometimes it's hard to open our hearts right away, and yet it's good. This is what spiritual growth feels like. We are learning to be more and more like Jesus, and to share and pray for Jesus' work in each other's life. Thank you for praying for one another and sharing with one another. We've had a chance to talk to God individually. We've had a chance to talk about how God is working in our lives one-on-one. One of the best parts of being a church family is we get to share with one another what we are thankful for, what God is doing, where we need God's help, where we are concerned about our world and we need to see God act. This is our time of sharing in prayer. It's our time for being a family together.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that remains, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other.
I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that remains, fruit that will last. Those are words of hope. That God has a plan for your life and wants to grow something good, something Christ-like through it. What I want to do now is invite you to speak those hopes about where and how you want to see God's harvest in our town or in your life. And we're going to use this cup. We used it earlier when Samuel was anointing David. We're going to use this. I'm going to pass it around the congregation. And when you have it, you have a choice. You can simply pass it along to the next person, or in one sentence, in a short prayer, name one thing that you are hoping for, where you want to see God's fruit in our community or in your life. Thank you all. You've done a great job today. Doing a prayer service, it's a little bit of a challenge. It puts us outside of our normal routine, outside of our comfort zone. Next week we'll be back to normal, have a sermon. I think even Ryan Siemens is going to come and preach. But before you go, let me send you out with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face smile upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.